One of them had just told me on the bus ride back, the gospel is so simple. We have a tendency to complicate it and be like, oh, you got to understand all these things. But they really were able to see how simple it is. Like, we are sinners separated from God.
Right.
And Jesus came to make a way.
Welcome to The Weekly, a podcast brought to you by Calvary Bible Church. I'm your host, Eden Gooddeal. Thanks for tuning in. Before we get started, make sure you're staying up to date with what's going on at Calvary by visiting calvarybible.com and clicking on your campus. With me today is the new director of high school ministries at Erie, Taylor Johnson. Taylor, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you. So, we have known each other for almost 5 years now, maybe, or so.
Yes, we have.
When you were on staff with the Navigators at CU, and I was a student there. But for those of the listeners who might not yet know who you are, can you give us a little intro about who you are at Calvary, how long you've been going there?
Yeah, definitely. I usually say that I'm the overall product of Calvary Bible Church. My family has been here for 20 years. Yeah, when we moved to Colorado, the first Sunday we were here was the first Sunday of the Erie campus back in 2006.
That's and so, perfect.
Yeah, the chairman of the elder board right now, Rod Rubel, he was walking around the neighborhood, just knocking on doors, inviting people, and he invited my family, and we've been here ever since.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So what do you do for Calvary now?
Yeah, I run the high school ministry at the Erie campus. I've been doing that since January. And it is, I think I can say safely, it's the best job I've ever had.
Wow, that's, you know, yeah. High praise. I like it. What are you loving about it so far? You said you're a product of Calvary, which is really cool. What's been really special and sweet about working in the high school ministry?
Yeah, I mean, the easy answer is just the students I get to work with.
Fair.
They really are just the highlight of my week every week. Getting to walk with them and see them put together the pieces of who is Jesus and what is he to me and how do I do life with him. Watching that develop over 4 years is just the greatest joy.
Yeah, that's really cool. Because it's not the first time you've been doing ministry with high school students, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I actually was the high school ministry intern.
That's right.
Back in 2018, I think is when I started. Yeah, I took a little break for college ministry and then came back to the OG.
Yeah. No, I love it. It's clear that the Lord has cultivated a heart for students in your life. I feel like that's where a lot of your career even has been focused. In your life, where have you seen that? Where has the Lord been growing your heart for students? Where did that start? Where has it taken you?
Yeah, great question. You know, I think I really saw that first when I was in high school.
Mm.
I was involved with the high school ministry at Calvary as a student. And a big part of our culture is high school students often serve in the middle school ministry.
Mm.
And so I started doing that when I was in my junior year. I ended up with the same small group from the time that they were entering sixth grade until the time they graduated high school.
Wow.
And that's actually when I made the jump to college ministry, and I was with that same group until they graduated college.
Man.
And yeah, I think really I can see just God working that in my heart since I was in high school, just that love for watching someone over their life grow and walk with Jesus.
Yeah.
Seeing how that changes. And yeah, I'd say it's kind of been threaded through most of my life.
I feel like I can really see clearly, even just in that story, your passion for generational discipleship, the sweetness of being able to watch somebody grow through some of the most developmentally intense like times in life. Maybe intense is not the right word.
I think it's fair.
You're growing so much about in life in general, from middle school to college, but also in understanding in Christ. I even just think about my time from middle school to graduating college. I'm like, man, if somebody had been like seeing me through all of that development, and there are people in my life who have, how special that is on the other side of that, to be able to see the fruit that the Lord can produce. And even seeing fruit being produced in other people, I think, can sometimes be such an encouragement for my own walk. Sometimes in my walk with the Lord, I get clouded by like, what's in front of me now? And I forget about the work he's done in the past. But for some reason, looking at other people's lives, I can be like, oh, wow, he's been doing XYZ and I can see it. And then it makes me reflect more on my own walk.
Yeah. And that's, I think, another one of the joys of high school ministry. I wish that more people saw high school age as an opportunity to capture and not a phase to survive or get through.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of just zeal and enthusiasm that they bring to, I mean, everything they do, but especially their walk with Jesus and their pursuit of him is so encouraging for me. And it really does relight a fire in me every time I get to spend time with them.
I personally found Christ in high school. And so high school ministry has got such a soft spot in my heart because that's how I came to be saved. Like, it's such a valuable time. I got the opportunity to go on the Boulder Ironman trip. And just being around those kiddos was like, man, this is cool. I felt so refreshed coming, even after, you know, the 25-hour road trip or whatever it was, I felt refreshed and ready to be more intentional with my time with the Lord, watching how they were, or even just more intentional in relationships. Man, they are so good at friendships sometimes. It's cool to see. You mentioned that you were a student in W&T when you were a high schooler. What do you feel like has changed about that age kind of range since you were there? What do you feel like are the things that you're noticing are different?
In some ways, it feels like nothing has changed in the sense of, you know, so many of the same struggles are there of like, who am I? What is my place in the world, in this community? Mm-hmm. Some of those things just are consistent, I think.
Right.
And I'm not that far removed, right? Like, I graduated 10 years ago.
Right.
I have seen a big change in the way that how technology has shaped the way they engage with faith and with other areas of life as well.
Yeah.
You know, AI is the conversation of today.
Right.
I think the bigger conversation is how are they, it's a lot of what we're talking about now in Sunday, our series on wisdom of how are they attaining wisdom? Is it through attaining knowledge, which we have almost infinite amounts of and infinite access to, or is it a different process? And I would argue it's a different process.
Yeah.
So that's, I would say, the big thing I see in the difference of a major challenge they're facing than even just 10 years ago.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Maybe the problems aren't different. Like you said, identity is always going to be something that high schoolers are thinking about. Or, my place in the world, or how do I contribute to my community? That's always going to be consistent. But maybe how the solutions that society at large is presenting to the high schoolers might change, or the way that it can manifest might change.
Yeah.
Which in some ways I feel like could be a comfort, right? That it's like nothing new under the sun in a way, right? And at the very least, God's not surprised. But at the same time, it can still be like, okay, but I didn't have AI when I was in high school. So how do we help these high schoolers, discern the difference between wisdom and knowledge? And how do we help them build that skill? Or how do they even cultivate that desire in themselves too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you just came back from the Dominican Republic with a bunch of high schoolers and adult leaders. Tell me about that. What were you guys doing out there? What was it like?
Yeah, we went out with an organization called Filter of Hope, and I was so impressed with them. The way that they do ministry is they partner with a local church wherever we're going, and we deliver filters to people in that community of that local church. And so, we went down with 18 high school students and 8 adult leaders, and stayed at a camp, a Bible camp, right next to the community. And then pretty much every single day, we went out first to the church to engage with the pastor and connect with the translators we would have for the day.
Mm-hmm.
We would also pair up with members of that church. And then we would go out into the neighborhoods and knock on doors and ask, hey, would you benefit from a filter? And also, can we share about Jesus with you? We're pretty upfront about it. And pretty much always the answer was, absolutely, that would be so helpful.
Wow.
And we would go into the house. We'd spend about 45 minutes to an hour and a half per house.
Wow.
Getting to know the people there, hearing their story, showing them how the filter works and how they can change it if they need to, you know, change what they're using for water collection. And then we would engage them with the gospel and share, hey, this is what Jesus offers to you. Is that new information to you? Or, you know, what do you think about it? And engage with their real story, dialogue about what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And we actually got to see a good handful of people come to put their faith in Jesus for the first time.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
And a number of others who are engaging with those members of the church and the pastor to just ask more questions.
What a gift that you get to provide for these real physical needs and bring the most important spiritual need to the forefront too. I even think about Jesus being a spring of life for us, and that, you know, these people now get clean water and they get the good news that they'll never be thirsty again. What were the high schoolers like on the trip? Many of them, I assume, were doing this sort of evangelism initiative for the first time. How did they respond? What was that like? What did you see in them?
Yeah. And they did so good. I was so impressed. I was not that brave when I was in high school. Really, like they were in a foreign country. They're walking into homes of people they've never met.
Mm.
And yeah, like you said, for a lot of them, it was their first time doing any kind of evangelism in that way.
Yeah.
Or being that direct in asking people questions about, do you know who Jesus is? Do you know what sin is and how that is in your life?
Yeah.
And do you know what he did for that?
Mm-hmm.
It was so incredible to see them terrified walking into houses in the first day and second day. And then to see the refinement that came even in just the next couple days as they got practice and started realizing, oh, these are people just like me and just like my friends and family in the U.S. And seeing how the gospel meets their needs and can meet the needs of their real friends and family as well back in the States. Yeah, it really was incredible to see them just engage with people with the gospel. Yeah. I think one thing that stood out to me too is one of them had just told me on the bus ride back, man, the gospel is so simple. You know, like we have a tendency to complicate it and be like, oh, you got to understand all these things to make, to be able to come to this decision. But they really were able to see how simple it is. Like, we are sinners separated from God, and Jesus came to make a way. And it's through grace that we're saved, like through faith only. It's not about what you do. It's the gift of God. And that was a cool takeaway for me too, of just, yeah, the gospel is so simple.
It's so true. While a lot of the things that we can get into the nitty gritty are important and valuable, and like
Absolutely.
Even studying the word deeply is like, what a joy that we have the opportunity to. But at the same time, not forgetting the clear picture and getting too zoomed in that you lose sight of, like, man, Christ is the reason. Christ is the point. Telling other people about it is often the way that we're reminded of it ourselves. I want to say it's Jerry Bridges used to say, preach the gospel to yourself every day, right? There is no one alive who doesn't need to hear the gospel every single day, which then, when sharing the gospel with other people, means that no effort is wasted. Sometimes I remember doing initiative evangelism things and being like, oh, that I just talked to a believer and they told me, oh, I already know Christ, like I'm saved. And I'd be like, oh, dang it. And it's like, oh, wait, no. They need to hear it too, right? Like,
Absolutely.
There's no day that I don't need to hear the good news of Christ and how important it is.
And we encountered the same thing out there too. occasionally you're sharing a filter with a believer. And that we had that exact same conversation of students saying, "Ah, man, bummer, it's a believer." And we're like, "No, that's your brother or sister in Christ. Thank the Lord that we're able to give them clean water for the next 10 years.
Amen.
And we can pray for them and encourage them, and they can do the same for us."
Right.
Man, it was so good. Like one of the houses we were at, we were dialoguing with them, and I realized the grandma in this house, there's a lot of multi-generational homes.
Yeah.
They're pretty much all multi-generational homes. But the grandma in this house, she was in her 80s, and she was a believer, and her daughter was not. And they're both in the room, like we're dialoguing with both of them. And at one point, I just was able to look at this grandma and come to the realization, and I shared this with her, of, "I'm so excited to spend eternity with you." And we just had this moment of connection of, man, how cool it is that Jesus came for me and for you, and how diverse is the body of Christ.
Man.
You know, every nation, tribe, and tongue will stand before Jesus on the throne. It was so incredible.
The layer of like, and you're getting to partner with believers who are so different from you, on the opposite side of the world, you know, in theory, on paper, very little in common. You don't even speak the same language, right? But yeah, we're all going to the same place. We all worship the same God, and we all are saved from the same blood. It's such a Ephesians moment where it's like unity in the body of Christ. We are all linking arms around the world, and getting to experience that and like have actual relationships with these people now. You have someone to think of. Now, when you think about every nation, every tribe, every tongue, that includes this grandma I met.
Yeah.
And now this grandma has something to point back to with her granddaughter and say, "Hey, remember those people who came? This is what I'm talking about." I got chills when you were telling me that story. What do you feel like are some of the big takeaways or small takeaways, just things that the high schoolers came away from that trip learning, knowing, growing in, excited about going back home?
Yeah. You know, a big one, I think you already said it, is evangelism and how that teaches us just as much as it teaches those we're talking to.
Yeah.
You know, it's that refinement that happens when you have to put to words the things that you say you believe.
Right.
And that's part of why I love high school ministry too, is because I'm constantly having to refine my beliefs, and they ask questions I never think of.
Totally.
But you know, that's even seeing a couple of days after we got back, a group of them met up for a Bible study before church. And then after church, they went to Pearl Street Mall and they evangelized, you know, and they invited a couple other people outside of the trip to join them. And that has been my prayer. That was my prayer coming back. And it's I mean, just encouraging for me to see God already answering that, of that what they have learned and they have encountered would bleed into the rest of our ministry as well.
Yeah.
Especially around evangelism and how good it is for our souls.
It really is. Man. Oh, that's so cool. It makes me think about a quote that I've heard often where it's, you know, you only have to be one day ahead of the person that you're helping. And so these students come back and they're like, "Let me share with you what I just learned how to do. Let me help you also figure out how to do it." And like that multiplication is already happening. Building faith and building these muscles of good practices and things that are good for our souls that I think sometimes have these barriers that can seem really insurmountable by ourselves. When we're doing it with somebody else, all of a sudden it becomes a lot more digestible. Taylor, thank you so much for coming on The Weekly.
Thanks for having me. It was a blast talking to you.
This was such a delight. I'm really encouraged by you and the stories you shared today. I'm encouraged by the high schoolers who I haven't even met, but am seeing the fruit of already. I hope everyone listening today was also encouraged too. Thank you for tuning in. Once again, make sure you're staying up to date on what's going on at Calvary by visiting calvarybible.com.